Today's program is brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
I'm Erica Wides, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Brew Seal. This is our first show of 2015. Cheers to you guys. We got a room full of beer technology guys and bar owner and brewers. But my good buddy Ed Barastecki here kind of started off the show. Ed from Mug's Ale House. How are you, Ed?
Hey, Jimmy. How are you? Happy New Year.
You know, there's a lot of beer technologies, you know, that consumers are interacting with. You know, there's beer menus, which has been around for a while, and Untappd. And both of their main guys are here tonight. And Ed recently sent me a photo of this thing called beer boards. And let's start talking about that, because why do you need an electronic board for your beer list? Why can't you write it on a chalkboard?
Because I'm too old, Jimmy. I'm too old for this. Actually, my background, I used to be a tech head. I was a systems programmer years before I started the bar, actually while I started the bar. So technology has always been something that I appreciated. Now, since we're all a tech world, I sat there one day and I was trying to figure out myself how to do this, because I've heard of the Pony Bar doing it and setting up their menus and things like that. I just thought it would be a cleaner look. You know, my bar, it's an old bar, so for me, I didn't want it to be too commercial looking also, so I had to work with what we have there. And JC walked in one day and he gave me this flyer, and I'm like sitting there and I kind of didn't blow him off, but I threw it on the back burner. And then I came in one day, I looked at the boards and I said, man, these look terrible. And I said, and then I just gave him a call and we sat down and we brainstormed and we came up with what we have up currently. Is it the best thing for everybody? I don't know. You know, for me,
so
it's great.
I should go to Mug's Ale House and check out your fancy beer board.
Yeah, well, maybe you should.
I know. Maybe after the show. But other technologies. So, you know, our good buddy, Augie Carton, it's nice to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
So you brought us, the epitome? Carton epitome. But that's not why you're here today. You're here because you're using another technology that probably many of our listeners know about, Untappd. What is Untappd, and why are you so famous on it?
So Carton Brewing is 3.5 years old, and Untappd is probably about 4.25, right? So I was actually an Untappd user prior to being a brewer. So what happened was, as we started putting beers out there, I started seeing people checking into them on Untappd, and I started toasting them because it was one or two people a night. And I kind of kept that rolling to the point where, so to toast a beverage on Untappd, you have to friend somebody first. So at this point, I have 20,000 friends, and I've toasted each person, or tried to toast everybody that had any of our beers, whether they liked it or hated it, which has become this kind of rolling thing that's a pain in their butt.
But you're super active, too. Like, you're always on Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really adept with the...
Well, yeah,
new
so
technologies.
You got to remember how small we are. We're a 10 guy shop, 15 barrel brew house. We only make about 2,500 barrels a year. So if you learn the rhythms of these different technologies and how they work, they can save you a lot of effort. Like, you know, our beers are usually in rotation at places. So even if I sold Mugs a keg, I can't say he's got it on tonight.
Not that I could get it, but.
But if they ask, I can say, look, check recent beer menus, check recent Untappds. If somebody's had a boat at Mug's tonight on either of those, or if it's posted there or checked in there, that's the easiest way to find out a quick answer without me calling distributors and so on. So we use it that way. As a tiny company that can't afford to do market research, if you really do pay close enough attention, what Untappd is best at is it's what people are thinking while they're actually drinking. It's not people at home thinking about the beer experience. It's a quick reaction to what they just put in their mouth while they're out, so you can get a real feel for how it's being perceived in bars. For us, that's extended out to suspecting dirty tap lines, shutting down a place because their sales staff couldn't wrap their head around our beers, or greatly, you know, enlarging a relationship.
So how does that work? I mean, you're using it to like analyze.
Well, it depends on the beer and the reaction, right? There's certain beers that are always going to be received well, big hoppy beers. And then there's, you know, you see one beer getting a lower reaction in one restaurant every time. You check their lines and clean them. You know what I mean? You see one beer that isn't always perceived well, and it's getting a great reaction in this restaurant. You send the sales guys there to find out what they're doing right and try to make everybody else know it.
Why would you think the line was dirty? I mean,
you can tell. If you pay enough attention to the rhythms of Untappd, you can tell where either the bartender hates your beer, and that's when it's only getting bad reviews on Friday, or the line is dirty, and that's when it's getting bad reviews over 14 days.
I just tried to, you know, because I follow what goes on Untappd also, and for me it's just sometimes I see some weird things, like beer. People say they're drinking a beer at my bar that's not up, or, you know, they put in a beer that we had last week, a week later, so I don't know if that's something that... I guess it's possible to do if somebody wants to go on there and say that.
Well, there's a group of people that join Untappd and put in every beer they ever remember drinking. And all of a sudden, you'll see one guy check into beers I haven't made in 4 years. But if you pay attention to that guy's check-ins versus your bar, you might see that he's put in 32 in the last 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Because he's trying to update his cachet on that thing.
And that's good. That's a good intro for Untappd and beer boards. But now also beermenus.com. Eric Stevens, one of the founders here. Eric, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jimmy?
So, like, recently, I remember last summer, Eric Asimov, the New York Times wine and sometimes beer writer, he was trying to write about, you know, a Berliner Weiss, and he found the Peekskill Simple Sour. Mm-hmm. And the big coup in that article was he basically said, well, I went to beermenus.com and look for all the places that had it. So tell us a little bit about your program, because, I mean, I think that people sometimes are checking, you know, my backup lists and other things.
Yeah, sure. So we created Beer Menus at this point almost 7 years ago we launched. We've been around for a while. And we were really trying to solve a problem that we had, which was that we wanted to figure out who had specific beers. Craft beer was really starting to explode. So many great options out there. And at the time, there's no way to figure out who had what beers. So we really wanted to, we just wanted that for ourselves. And we started it kind of just as a side project, as a hobby, just kind of see what would happen. And the response that we got when we first launched was just overwhelming. People were like, oh my God, I've been wanting this type of thing forever. Oh, I've been meaning to do that for so long. But nobody thought it would work, because the way it works is that the bars, restaurants, beer stores, they update their beer selection. That's how it works. It comes from the business owner. And a lot of folks didn't think the business owners would be willing to do it. It would take too long. And so we focused really hard in trying to make it as easy as possible for the businesses to participate. And now we've got thousands and thousands of businesses on the site. It's been a ton of fun.
I mean, I didn't really think much about it, but about 6 months in after you guys started, when I would Google beers, you know, just to get a description, it used to be it was always like Rate Beer or Beer Advocate. Now we're talking like 8 or 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. And about 6 months in, suddenly the beer menus listing was coming up before all the others.
Yeah, a lot of businesses discovered us when they were researching the beers that they were serving and trying to figure out beer descriptions, ABVs, things like that for their own print materials to help their customers understand those beers. So yeah, a ton of people have found us that way.
That's awesome. And let's jump over to Greg from Untappd. So Greg, I mean, it seems that for consumers, you know, you're the site that are, or the app that people are using. Tell us about how you got started with it.
Yeah, so it's very very telling tale. We're a two-man organization. We work part-time on the project. I'm here, obviously, in New York City, and my co-founder is out in Los Angeles. And about 4 years ago or 5 years ago, my co-founder came to me and he said, I have this great idea. Why don't we take the four-square method everyone's kind of familiar with? We were checking into locations, and we'll attach it to beer, because beer is very social. And there really wasn't a place for people to be social on the web when it comes to beer. So I promptly told them that no one would ever do that, and it'd be a waste of our time. And truly, I was very, very wrong with that statement. About 1.5 million users later, we're still kind of working through all the stuff that we have. And it's been a great experience to see feedback and users and, keep building out the platform.
All right. And Augie, you're kind of like the voice of technology. I keep going back to you. But
actually, you know what's funny is the last time you and I really got at it late at night, we were out with our buddy Anthony. And the whole reason I know him is because of Beer Menus. At one point, like 4 years ago, I was looking for Nugget Nectar. He had it on at Swift's. I found that on a Google search, like you said. So I became aware of Anthony and Beer Menus that night. Went and helped finish that keg of Nugget, and that was that. Like, it's, I've made friends off both these sites.
Yeah, I mean, you know, through Untappd, I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of people as well. I think the whole culture of beer is very social, and having a place where people can put their comments and check-ins and talk to people and discover new beers is a really cool thing people can do. And I know a lot of friends. I've actually been to 2 weddings this past year from friends I've met on Untappd. You can see the kind of culture that beer is all about and what we're trying to accomplish online. And similar to Beer Menus, we're doing very similar things in terms of being able to connect people with their beer, but also people with people. And I think that's a great way for both people to communicate with each other and also for, like, Augie and breweries to communicate with the consumers. That's very important. It can't be done right now except on social media like Twitter or Facebook, but we're allowing them to connect directly with the customer, which really haven't been heard of in this industry right now.
Ed, do you use any of the other beer technologies?
You know, Beer Menus, they know me. They know me from the beginning, I think. I was probably one of the guinea pigs in the beginning that they were trying to get me going on it. And, of course, the old fart that I am, it kind of fell behind. And then I try to keep up, and
if
I get a spurt.
If you keep talking that way, I'm not going to invite you back.
Why?
You're not that old, truthful. Man.
I just turned 50, babe. It's all downhill from here. Being in this business 22 years, I feel like I'm 70. But, yeah, I was there for their beginning, and I remember the whole unveiling of it. But for me, it's like, God, 4 kids, everything, a lot of things. Technology for me is real tough as far as trying to keep everything updated. It'd be nice if everything, like, you know, if I have to go and update Beer Menus, I know that you can update my website and things like that. And I try to. I try to keep up with it. You know, it gets tough, though. It gets tough, for me at least.
Right. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that that we've found is that it really helps when it becomes just part of your team's job to update Beer Menus. So a lot of businesses, whoever takes care of changing out the keg, bringing a new one online, just becomes a part of that process. So a lot of the businesses that update, many of the businesses update basically in real time. As soon as they change the keg, they update Beer Menus. We found that for those folks, that process works well, making sure the team knows how to take care of it.
You're right, and it's being a mom and pop shop, I never really looked at it that way. And I mean, now it kind of what we have now with these guys, and not to step on your shoes or anything, but it kind of works well for us because the boards get updated, it shoots out a tweet, it updates my website, it does everything in one shot also, similar to what you're doing. But I think they're a little bit more towards the bar owner, and their approach, from what at least my outlook is, that, you know, my boards are updated immediately. Like my bartenders now, they can update it and they don't have to write it and they don't have to take it down. And so they just go on and they just update it and it's done. They're similar technologies, I mean, to a certain degree. Like I said, right. You know, you can get into it a little bit more with Jimmy there, give a little more explanation of the background of it.
Mark Young, you're from Beer Boards.
So, Jimmy, this is Mark Young from Beer Board. First of all, thank you for having me. This is we're launching in New York, and this is the way to launch in New York with you. So I'll just follow up on Ed's point. I mean, we're a company. We've been around, actually, for about 9 years. Our first product that we released, because we have a couple products. One was to help bar owners better manage draft beer. So we did take a bar owner perspective. We help them monitor every volume, you know, every ounce of beer that they pour by the tap. And we focused on a wide area. We focused on national chains. But to Ed's point, we took a bar owner perspective, and I'll even talk to Augie. Makes about 2,500 barrels, right, Augie? There's now over 3,000 breweries in the U.S. alone, and craft breweries. So for us, it was how do you better manage the category. I came from a beer distributor background, and we really were looking from a standpoint of an operator who needs to communicate all these great beers like Augie has brought to market, and they rotate a lot. They rotate fast. So how do we help the bar owner but at the same time help the consumer understand where they can find, you know, these great beers and their style of beer. Because it's about, really for us, it's about style of beer, because I want to try my IPAs and pale ales, and they're rotating quickly and fast. So somebody like Ed needs to keep his board updated. He needs to keep his customers informed, and that's really what our initial angle here was, to help our owners keep people informed.
Some of Ed's lines haven't changed in 30 years.
Well, you're right. We have standard lines, and you know, we have the on-deck lines like Cart and Boat, which we've been waiting for what, how many years?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's make a quick toast. First, if you're on Twitter, which we would like, at @beer_sessions, Maggie's tweeting and sending some photos out. If you got any questions for this beer technology crowd, you can totally send it in at @beer_sessions. I know at Beer Menus, they're also tweeting. So, hey, this is a good show. We're getting started. Let's check out heritagebrewerynetwork.org. You can become a member, and it's a first year. Happy New Year, everybody. All right.
Happy New Year.
We're back in
Happy
a few
Year.
Minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
Like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, greatbrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. Greatbrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, greatbrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile beer cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit greatbrewers.com today.
Today's break song is called New Ease by Mamarazzi. This is Beer Sessions Radio.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's our first show of 2015. We're talking about beer technology. We got untapped beer boards and beer menus here, including Augie Carton, the ultimate beer technology dude. So, Augie, you said you've got like 20,000 friends on Untapped. And
yeah.
Isn't that breaking the rules?
That's breaking the rules a little, but to be fair, we broke those rules before they were really rules. Like I said, I was a very early adopter of that one.
So Greg tells you, Greg from Untapped here, this is kind of cool. So,
Augie, do you feel better now about yourself?
How do you manage all these relationships? I mean, does he have to pay like thousands of dollars to be on Untapped?
No, but I wish he did. That'd be great. No, Augie and I have communicated a long time ago. It's actually the first time I met him face to face. We've communicated over email a lot. He's a great test user case because he'll probably either break the bank in terms of all of our servers and stuff like that, or he'll test some new things for us. And he's been a part of a lot of the early beta stuff that we've done for the brewery.
We're going to do a competition now. So we got all these different technologies. We got a brewer and we got a bar. So I don't know, Ed, is there a beer of Augie's that you want to put on at Mug's Ale House?
Boat.
Okay.
At least that. I mean, so, we have
let's ask each group here between the different apps and technology. So somebody wants to find, first of all, Carton Boat beer. Then they also care about what's at Mug's Ale House. So, Mark, why don't you start with us? You know, what are some of the tools that your beer boards do?
Yeah, so for Mug's Ale House, his customers and any good craft beer drinker out there can download Beer Board Mobile. It's Beer Board, one word, and they would see literally in real time as Ed changes his lines over, not only the beer board in his store, but our Beer Board mobile app will change.
Is that like waterboarding?
No.
We have to have fun with you guys because, you know, it's the beer technology show. Come on, guys.
So yeah, he can, if Augie can get him his boat beer, he's been talking about it for about a half hour. So, you know, Jimmy, before we got here, he wanted that product. So as soon as he gets it in, he'll put it online and he'll update his beer board, not only his in-store display but his mobile app, and that'll actually push a notification to any of his clients that prefer that style. So it's all real time, and that's what this is about. I think for craft beer right now, it's about availability. How do we make consumers aware of great products? Like the ones that we're sampling here tonight are available at bars like Mug's Ale House.
And what about you guys, Eric from Beer Menus?
Sure. So you can go to beermenus.com and search for Carton Boat Beer. And, yeah, there are a bunch of places.
Augie already did it, too.
Yeah, Augie did it. But looks like it's at Sugarberg, Tourist, Brewery Lane, Fool's Gold.
Well, that's good.
Mission Dolores.
That's good, Augie. Thanks. Thanks, so, Augie.
So those are the good places to go in New York if they have Carton Boat.
That's all right.
Yeah,
it's at
about 20, 30 places, pretty nearby.
Oh, great.
You know, it's funny.
Like seven of them.
A few years ago, when there's a Good Beer Seal committee, and they met to talk about which bars deserve the award. This is four years ago or so. At the time, now you're talking about which bars have Carton Boat. At the time, it was Barrier Brewing, which then was fairly new. And some people basically said, hey, if they have Barrier, that means they're a good beer bar. They get what's going on. So that's a cool use of your app, right?
To track down. I think that's happening a lot. Other Half, Carton, Barrier, they're all local breweries that the folks are super excited about, and it's definitely a signal that bar or restaurant really cares about.
You know, one time
craft beer.
I put on something on deck. I tried your Pro Series, and we put mm-hmm. something on deck. And someone showed up asking for that beer, and I was like, how'd you know? He said, I saw it on Facebook. I saw that you had it on deck.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
I'm a believer. And what about for Greg,
thanks,
for Untappd?
Jimmy.
So, like,
yeah, it's a little different with us because we don't really have the venue side where they'll go in and manage it, but our benefit is that users will tell us where the beer is being served, so there's less stress on the bar owner to actually say, hey, update our tap list with all the stuff we have. So, you know, I have a very similar list of where Boat Beer is. I mean, I have some at the Pony Bar, some at Fool's Gold, some at Barcade.
That's good.
Many people don't know too much about
it. Jersey City.
Thank you.
You just got to log in on Untappd. Say, I had the Boat Beer at Mug's Ale House.
Exactly.
Right. You can make it up, right? You don't have to go
here. We don't make it up here.
No?
It's true.
Well,
we have
get
algorithm.
Really mad if
we have a scientific algorithm that determines whether the beer is being served at that location. So if you bring a beer into a bar that maybe it's a bottle share or something like that, we have some algorithms that are our secret sauce, I would say, that basically don't allow it to be ingested into the community. We're able to, with a reasonable doubt, tell you what's on a tap list without actually having the person update their list.
I've actually been yelled at, never for your guys' beer board site, but both of your sites have got me yelled at for they said they had Boat, they didn't have Boat. And me trying to explain in 140 characters or less that a sixtel is only X amount of pints and they might have even had it when you read it, not...
Yeah, I mean, beer goes very fast, so you know we don't have 100% accuracy on whether these things are going to be there. But the way that we look at the Find Beer feature on Untappd is an opportunity to let them know where it possibly could be. So that's kind of the way it works.
And Ed can talk to this. I think that's really our focus, is to try to make it as up to date as possible and as accurate as possible to the minute.
So, you know, I never looked outside of Mug's, and that's kind of the way I used to always look at Mug's, was like, you know, I had blinders on and I never looked outside of it when these apps were showing up. But when your app showed up for me, it was just, I didn't even think about the outside and how it's going to affect everything on the outside of it. But the boards are really what I was enthused about. And by the way, Augie, I do have a carton handle. At least I have that.
Well, then I'm extra mad at somebody because you don't have the beer.
But Mark, I still don't understand. So, okay, and JC, this is JC Whipple and Mark, two guys. JC, say what you want to say because he's the PR guy.
Well,
I can speak for Beer Awards.
I'd like Mark to say every time he talks, Beer Board or Beer Board Mobile. That's what I'm looking for him to do. So go ahead, Mark. Say what you need to say.
Beer Board Mobile. There you go.
He said what he had to say.
Yeah. No, our objective here was that for somebody like Ed who rotates a lot of brands, again, the craft beer business, as we all know, is growing and it's great for everybody. For a consumer that walks into a bar, it's great if you can get efficient information and get and understand what products are being served at that moment. So we're partnering with great bars like Mug's Ale House, who offer a lot of great products, and those products need to be listed properly, accurately, in real time. So that's really the key.
So, Ed, you have coming up a couple great events. You got the Blind IPA Challenge.
Yes, we have the Blind IPA next Saturday, the 17th. And then we have Split by Skull.
So March. You're always updating beers. You always have great new beers.
You know, we talked about this before the show, and it was just like, for me, it was a matter of cleaning up the boards. But, you know, with everything else that's happened in technology, for me, to just be able to update it from my phone or the bartender update it from the phone, then the boards get updated, shoots out a tweet, says, we just tapped this, and, you know, goes on Facebook, does this. For me, it was an old man's type of environment for me as far as doing what I have to do. I could sit there and just go up and say, take this beer down, put this beer in, and it's done. You know, and they have a facility where I can actually copy, print out a hard draft list too for the bar owner.
Let's talk about your Blind IPA event. Last year, what, you had 12 different IPAs?
Yeah, what we do is we have 12 different IPAs. We don't tell anybody what they are. We put 12 blank handles up. It's our only ticketed event. And what happens is you come in, you get a sample, and you can sample all 12 beers as many times as you want for 2 hours. And then on the third hour, you vote, and you get a pint glass, and you drink whatever you want to drink at that point. It's worked great. You know, last year, Single Cut won. And the year before, Greenport Harbor won, and the first year, Victory won. So we're curious to see who's going to pull it out this year.
All right. Looking forward to that, man.
Yep.
And then Augie, so this is a fascinating beer. It's not the coffee.
Regular
coffee.
Right now, you're on
it's
Gilded
Lily.
It's
not the spring salad mix.
But now we're going to my favorite part about Untappd, and that is the other category. All right, so we, you know, our motto, our credo is off the beaten craft. We really only make one beer that's actually to a style, and that's our double IPA. On that, we're always trying to screw with something in some way. And there's this mentality I think the craft beer culture is moving out of, where first styles made it easy to understand when you were learning new stuff, and now everybody's breaking molds. And Untappd has always had an other. So when there was no such thing as a session IPA and we were making a super hoppy session beer, we could identify it as other and not an IPA, because that upsets people because it's four. You know what I mean? But if you call it a pale, it's too hoppy. So other. Well, Gilded Lily is our white truffle. You know,
it really smells like truffles.
We put 2 kilos of white truffles into a 20-barrel batch of a big, fat, golden, big, fat, golden Belgian triple. And that's another beer, right? What are you going to call it? It's not a triple.
Like truffles,
yeah. Truffle. It's got a ton of truffles in it, and there's no such thing as a truffle beer yet. So you can't call it that. It's not a triple because it's got a ton of truffles in it. So the other thing, and the ability to adapt to that, is what I like best about
it.
Is this in any
bars in New York City right now?
Yeah, check beer menus. I think
that's what I was going to say.
So guys,
check your apps. And who can come up with what's the name of this beer again?
This is called Gilded Lily.
Which of your apps or tech sites has
no worry about
this listed?
It's at Jimmy's.
Do you have it?
I did put one thing great about Carton, and this is actually a compliment to you, is I know you guys, you change distributors and you're with greatbrewers.com. But you definitely are harder to get now.
That's not my fault.
But that's a good thing. You know, we wake up early on a Monday hoping to order a keg of Carton.
All right. Here's the people.
We wake up early on a Monday hoping to get a Carton.
Here's the people claiming to have it right now. Covenhoven, Fool's Gold, Great Harry, Culture, that's it, New York Wing Factory, Coppermine. No, that's not in New York, so we're out of New York. Beer Culture.
So what about on beer boards? Do you guys have a? Can
you guys
track
have it?
No,
we
don't have it.
Can you track like where people have beers?
Yeah, if it was in the if it was in our app, it's going to be on tap. So.
That's the funny part.
So how does a consumer? But I understand. So I know what Untappd is. I know beers, but with beer boards, you know, I know you're going to go to Mug's Ale House and see on the board and all this. But how does a consumer actually know, or how can they check your system? You know, to see what beers there are.
Yeah, Beer Board Mobile. Yeah, there's a mobile app.
It's a mobile.
And it's based, again, by it's based on the bar owner. So we work with bar owners to actually update the app in real time as they change the product. So ours is more for a – it's a dual purpose. They're going to help – we're going to help the bar owner better inform guests, and they're going to inform the outside world, and then consumers can rely on that accuracy. So it really is something to – it added efficiency. I think Ed can speak to this. We're trying to add efficiency. It's a – you know, for me, technology – you know, I think these technologies and these guys here are great technology that we have in this room. I'm just, you know, I'm an accountant by trade, Jimmy, so I'm a guy who's functional. So I'm about technology brings efficiency as well as the social and the various aspects. So we're trying to help bar owners more efficiently inform consumers of all these great products.
It's two different ends of the spectrum here, because, like, we're talking about, you know, people drinking in a bar. My end is where I've got to, all right, update everything in the world to tell everybody that I've got this beer up. So for me, the easiest way of doing it, and, you know, beer and readiness is great. And believe
me,
but
you're still planning a polka band, too.
Yeah, well, even that. If I was playing a polka and they tapped a new beer at the bar, you know, it would be like, well, I have to log on to beer menus and tell them. But my whole thing is with – I love about their app, and again, not to take anything away from beer menus, because I love their app also. I sit on my phone. I take one beer out of my list, put another beer in, hit update, and it's done. The boards at the bar get updated. It shoots a tweet. It updates my website. It does everything for me. So that's the way I look at it from my perspective, is what I like about it. Again, not to take anything away from Beer Maze, because I love their app and website and everything else and all the information that it has. But for me, what I needed, this is really what I really have been waiting for a long time.
All right, man. And you can check Ed out at Mugs Ale House, right? You have a Twitter account. I never get any of your tweets, man.
No, you don't?
No, I don't. But Augie,
you don't follow me.
This beer...
Or
it's crazy.
You.
Thank you.
Have you ever had a beer before with truffles in it?
No.
You once again, category buster, but
that's
what do you think of this beer? It's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, you really taste the truffles. It's delicious.
Thank you.
I think after the break, Justin Kennedy is going to give us a question about this truffle beer, because it's pretty great. All right, hey, we'll take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
This one's called Lovely Seven, also by Mamarazzi. This is Beer Sessions Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's our first show of the year. We're talking about beer technology, and a happy new year to everybody. And again, check out heritageradionetwork.org, and thanks to our sponsors, greatbrewers.com. So Ed Barastecki from Mugs. But we're talking beer technology, but also it's about beer. So Augie, you just blew my mind. You got the truffle beer.
Yep, Gilded Lily is its. I know you hate names. I know you want everything just to be called a brown or a black. But this one's called Gilded
Spring
Lily.
Salad Blend.
That's right. That's Panzanella.
But and I love that one. But how did you get your truffles for your truffle beer?
So along my very spotted and sordid history between being born and opening carton, I was a waiter for a while at some of the respected New York City restaurants, and a guy I used to wait tables with at a pretty high-end restaurant that was called Washington Park that became Crew that then went out of business, went on to become the truffle salesman for D'Artagnan. And I know that. So when I planned for this beer, I called him up. And I said, look, I don't need anything ridiculous and presentable in a room. I need something with a lot of aromatic punch that I can blend into a beer. And then this year was a good year for truffles. There were a lot of them. Since I'm of the belief that the best are the little Alban truffles, about the size of a walnut, not the big ridiculous tableside truffles, he was able to get me those. We used about 2 kilos for about 22 final barrels of the beer. And we just blended them in a hot tea to make sure there was no infection on them. And then we just pumped them over like they were a dry hop. And the fun part about the beer was we had to believe it would work. Truffle season is only 6 weeks. So you couldn't make the beer, test it, and then make it. You had to make the beer and just commit to this expense and believe it was going to work. The nice part was it did, but that's why it's such a high-gravity beer, right? In restaurants, what you stick truffles to is fat, right? So butters and egg yolks and cheese. We were believing that at about 10%, there'd be enough alcohol to hold on to that. And the gamble worked. And this is one of my favorite beers we ever made. It's just, it's neat, and I believe it's kind of to our mission. It's not like any other beer.
Definitely on the nose, man. I mean, it right away, it's truffle.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, like I said, it was fun to do. It worked. We believed it would smell good. Truffles are, the joke I like to make is it smells like sex and candy, right? It's got that dirty, hippie festival, patchouli sex smell of truffles, and then it tastes kind of
what
like
if, what if I cooked with it? Would this beer be similar to a truffle
oil?
You'd
blow the aroma right out. If you went above 140 degrees, you'd blow the aroma right off it. It's a very volatile aroma. It's not going to stick around long. It's better to cook something and drink it with it.
And then what? Just from a culinary side, after you've steeped the truffles, mm-hmm. what do you do with the leftover truffles?
We left them in. Ideally, yeah. if you because we only did this in growler. This is way too expensive to really do anything with. You could only buy this in half growlers from us. It didn't really go out. And it was just an experiment to see if it would work, and it was fun. But if you bought a growler from us and you left it in your fridge for a week, what was in the bottom of that bottle was not yeast. It was bits of the truffle.
That's beautiful, man. Cheers to you, man. Yeah, once again, category busting. So talk about beer, guys. Eric Stevens, you and your brother Will, you know, you founded beermenus.com, but I know your brother, in particular Will, was really into beer. You know, he hosted a lot of beer tastings, and
yep.
I know he's taking some of the Cicerone classes now.
Yeah.
You know, how did you get into beer?
Our father actually got us into beer. There's some pretty crazy photos of my brother and I when I was 7 and he was 4, helping our dad homebrew, stirring the boil.
I met your dad once.
Yeah,
a few years ago, he came by Jimmy's number 43. Yeah.
Yeah. So he got us into the game very early, and then sort of when we were in college, we got so we homebrewed with him a little bit when we were very young, and then we got back into it again sort of as we got into college and started to become of legal age. And really our dad got us into it, and we were just fortunate. It was such a great time to be into craft beer as we were sort of coming out of college and coming into the working world.
So that was kind of natural. You're like a developer, aren't you, like a software guy?
Yeah, I my background is as a product manager, and I actually taught myself how to program as a part of building beer menus, just excited about it and taught myself so I could build beer menus.
But you started as beer fans.
Yeah, we started as beer fans for sure, and then figured out the technology side to make beer menus work.
And that's why we love you. So what did you bring? You brought a beer from the Commons in Portland, Oregon.
Yep.
And they were here last spring, a year ago, for this travel Portland thing. So we have some of their beers at Jimmy's Number 43. You want to pop that for us? You can taste that?
Yeah, that'd be great. It's a beer Will picked up when he was out in Portland.
Cool. All right, man. Have you had this beer before, Ed? The Commons?
Never.
It's great. Literally, it was like, Portland, Oregon is so cool. And we'll give a shout out to our buddies out there and Christian DeBenedetti, who wrote The Ale Trail, great book. And he's got The Weekly Pint. You guys should check that out if you're interested in weekly, you know, beer updates. But Christian turned me on to these guys. They came out last spring. It's called Travel Portland, sent out like 3 different brewers from Portland, which is cool. They did a tasting at the Cannibal and the Gotham West Market. And it was just great. There was a guy from Hub and a guy from Commons, another brewery. But it was pretty cool. And I love that when, you know, these local regions embrace their brewers now as talent. So they basically, in terms of promoting travel to Portland, they sent 3 brewers to New York City. and invited media and food people. And that's pretty wild. I mean, I don't. Are you seeing that in other areas?
Well, on my honeymoon in 04, we went to the Slow Food Festival in Italy, and there was an entire contingent of the 04 brewers, all these guys we talk about and love from all over America that were parked at one place in the middle of the Slow Food Convivium of 40,000 small food producers. And there were, you know, all those heroes of mine now, there then, just standing behind a counter trying to convince Italians to drink American craft that they were never going to see anyway. And it was awesome.
Like, I'm going somewhere with this. That's because with these different, you know, types of apps and sites, I mean, you know, we're talking about brewers in Portland and going to Italy. I mean, for you guys, like Greg, is Untappd international, you know?
Yeah, Untappd's an international app. I mean, people use it. We've actually had a check-in on almost every single continent. There's some in South Africa that have been coming really big over the last couple of months. Brazil is a very big hotspot right now for craft beer, something that I never really knew about until I got some of the Untappd data. But, you know, it's an international application, and, you know, that's kind of where I got into beer. I actually was not really into beer when I first made the app. I was still experimenting, and I haven't found the beer. If you talk to some people, like, oh, I don't really like beer, it's because they haven't found the beer that they like yet. And through Untappd, I've been able to figure out which beers I like, which styles I like, which place I like to go to. And from there, I kind of figured out which beer I like. And people overseas can see the same thing, too. They can see what's happening in the U.S. We can see what's happening over in Europe and all that fun stuff. So it's a global product, I guess you could say.
All right, man.
Cheers. I checked in from London and Canada.
Yeah, I mean, I've been over to Ireland and London before. Amsterdam, Belgium, they're really big and Untappd over there. And the cool thing is when you get over there, too, and you want to find a place to go, you can use the app to figure out what beers around you or what's local to your location. So it's a great way to kind of figure out if you're traveling in a new city for the first time, what's local to that area that you want to try.
All right. Well, cheers to everybody. This has been a cool show.
Here's to you, bro.
You know, Eric, thanks for bringing this. So hello to the Commons in Portland, Oregon. Man, you guys really made an impact in New York. You're only here for a short time last year. And what places in New York City have the Commons on? Who can find that first? Who's the fastest?
I'll have to look it
up. I'm mocking the beer technology, but we all couldn't live without it. And it's really, you know, it's been important for all of us. So, I mean, Ed, do you ever go anywhere besides Mug's Ale House to drink beer? You don't need to.
No, Jimmy's. That's it.
Sometimes.
And here, Roberta's.
Yeah, Roberta's, yeah.
After 22 years, you think I haven't drunk enough beer in my life?
No. Well, all right, so let's talk.
Let's talk about where I can get carton beer.
No, stop. There's no carton beer. But I would say, so the thing, because ultimately the five of us would identify as small businesses. And what I would say, if, you know, there's definitely a niche for everybody. Like, as a runner, you care about that app. And as a guy looking for free feedback, I care about these apps. But I think as a drinker, right? Like I said, I started on Untappd and Beer Menus long before there was a carton brewing, because I was a guy enthusiastic about drinking beers just like we're drinking right now. In, you know, with other guys that wanted to drink. So the social aspect about Untappd is my favorite part about it. The utility of beer menus is my favorite part about it. And the way to find out about the guys associated with these guys is obviously the asset there. And if I have a favorite beer and I'm having an argument with a friend that we should go there, I can just log onto theirs and be like, here's the 20 beers they have. Stop. And there's a value in all that to all these things. And it's, you know, for this tiny, small, nascent business we're all part of, like, there's all the drama in the press about what's big and what's little. We're, what, 8% of all the beer served in America? Three websites making it easier for people to find us, the bars and brewers. It's all a good thing, and it's a symbiosis. And there's
I think more people want craft beer than anything, and I should be more tied into what you guys are doing, because whenever I go somewhere new, I'm always disappointed that they don't have a good beer on draft. Mm-hmm. You know,
I just want to say something, because, again, being in this business for 22 years from, you know, the early days, and the early days when you went someplace, what would you do? Ale Street News, the back, you take the map, you're in Washington, D.C., who's got good beer? And now you don't have to do that. And, you know, of course, like you just said, each one has something special about it. And I applaud it as an old-timer, Jimmy, as an old-timer. I applaud it, and I applaud all of them. I applaud all of them because I think it's a good thing, even though, like, again, an old fart like myself, looking at it is a little
different.
Go back to
the polka circuit. Okay?
I am. I'm trying to.
It's like in Home Alone 1,
yeah,
this guy saved the day by his polka band took the mother back to...
Right, Macaulay polka.
Yeah. Which I only know because I saw Home Alone
John
1
Candy.
At Christmas with my daughter. So.
Yeah, we watched it about 10 times at the house because I wanted to see that scene.
Let's give a quick wrap-up. Okay, we got three beer technologists here. Everybody, just say a quick sign-off before we go. So, Mark, you go with it because you're the new guy. Beer Board. So,
this is Mark from Beer Board. I'll just say that's a good way to end it. Technology, I think, can help increase the share of craft beer, and which is great. So I do say that for Augie, technology can drive the availability for the craft beer industry.
All right. Eric from Beer Menus?
Yeah, I mean, we created Beer Menus because we wanted a way to choose bars and restaurants based on their beer selection, and it's been amazing to be able to do that and just been exciting to see how much the industry has been growing and how many people there are out there that really want to choose bars based on their specific beer selection.
All right, Greg from Untappd.
Yeah, I mean, just to echo that point, we created Untappd to help to connect the breweries with the customers and the customers with the breweries. And through this kind of system where craft beer wins in every situation, it's a great way for everyone to kind of communicate, find what beer they like, where they want to drink it, and what they like, and get better recommendations for that. So.
And how about a thanks to Jimmy for having us on here?
Thanks to Jimmy.
Thanks to the whole crew, Justin Kennedy.
Jimmy, thank you.
Maggie Sutton, everybody. Yeah, but we're not done yet, so we're gearing up for now to announcements, guys. Slow down. We're gearing up for New York City Beer Week, which is going to be probably the best one ever, 2015, the end of February, and it begins on Friday, February 20th with the Big Toast, where 100 of the top craft beer bars in the city will be toasting a special beer, and I'm probably giving you the scoop on that, but that's one of the coolest things, and a bunch of bar owners work with the Brewers Guild and said, hey, let's start off Beer Week in the bars on Friday night. So you're going to be somewhere on Friday, February 20th, toasting with one of the best beers you can find. That's the place to go, New York City Beer Week. And our special event, the New York City Brewer's Choice, will be on Tuesday, February 24th in Brooklyn. So lots going on in New York City. And also in closing, I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com who've helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. To Ed, Augie, Greg, Eric, Mark, and all the rest, thanks for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy, and to our engineer, Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right, yeah.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.